Our God is good. Number five, do not fear. The battle is not yours. What are you facing today? It helps if you know that battle. If you're born again, you're serving God. That's not your battle. Amen. Today we want to continue looking at this thought. God is good and everything he does is good. Anybody tells you any different, they have a different God. My God is a good God. That doesn't mean I do not have problems, because we also have a good devil. And by good, I don't mean morally good. I mean he's good at being evil. He's good at deception. That's why a lot of Christians are in poverty and sick and dying, because they've been deceived by the devil to believe that's God's will. If you want to know God's will, look at the Word of God, and that's where we go today. And so he is good. He does good. It's difficult for some people today to believe that the Lord is still going about doing good. I'm telling you, he's still going about doing good, especially for those people who are obeying him. If you hearken to my voice, obey my voice, these blessings will come on thee. Well, what if you're not obeying him? On down there around verse 15 in Deuteronomy 28, it says these curses will come on you. So it's kind of important to obey him. the Lord is still going about doing good. It's hard to believe for some people to believe that he cares for and protects his people, that God is good and does good today. Well, what about these bad things that happen to these other Christians? Quit worrying about other Christians. Believe the Word of God. I'm not responsible for what happens to other people. I'm responsible to hear and obey the voice of God and not make up excuses when I fail because I'm not doing what I'm supposed to do. All talent, ability, and wisdom come from him. And I don't care how successful you are, he gave you that ability. And it's there to glorify God. He delivers us from trouble and restores us to health. Fear is a choice. Trusting God is a choice. We need to choose to believe God's word and rebuke doubt and unbelief starting right now. Amen. I'm telling you, that's how it works. That's why there's a church here. We had to learn the hard way. Do not fear what you see. Keep your eyes on Jesus Christ, and he'll bail you out every time. Peter was walking on water, so, well, ha, 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 he lost faith and sank. Don't laugh when people sink, because the Lord's going to pull them out if they continue to believe God. And many times I've been sinking, and he used to grab me by the hair of the head and pull me out. Now he grabs me by the ears. The Word of God says, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Let's have a debate and figure out what that means. How many can figure out what that means without a debate? Fear ye not, stand still and see the Lord deliver you. Make a way out. Exodus chapter 14, verse 13. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today, for the Egyptians whom you've seen today shall see them again no more forever. And when he said that, this is when the Israelites, they had just escaped from slavery. Moses was leading them out, and it appeared that God led them into a trap. The way they were going, he came down to a point of the mountains here in the Red Sea. Here was no place for them to go. They were setting ducks. And they look, and here come Pharaoh and all of his chariots and his army. They're coming down on them to slaughter them. They cry out to God, and Moses said, stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord. Well, it's been many times I've been in that position. There's no way to escape. The debts are too big. They don't have enough money. Things are not working out. People don't like this and don't like that. I mean, the devil's on the move. This one's sick, that one's sick. There's just no way to recover. But there is a way to recover. Can you say amen? Stand ye still. Y'all pay attention yet? You need to get this one. This is the best one of the five, I think. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. The Lord gave me that for the United States of America. When I saw how bad things were getting, I was praying, oh God, what's going to happen? He gave me this verse. Stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord. I don't know exactly what's going to happen, but I know somehow God is going to help us. Amen. Amen. This country's in the worst trouble it's ever been in. You know, Russia and China have gotten together for the first time. Iran is with them, and North Korea's with them. And I mean, they've got nukes everywhere, you know, and they're threatening us with nukes. And if you want to pray, if we're going to pray, it might be time to pray. And instead of laughing at the state of Tennessee, the legislature, for calling for prayer, we need to get to praying if we want to survive. Stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord. But it's required that we obey him, be a doer of the word. When you give, when you pray, when you fast, when you go to church, when you meditate on God's word, God's promises. Stand ye still, fear ye not. Oh, that's the first step. Fear ye not. Shut down the fear. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today shall see them again no more forever. Do you have Egyptians on your case? People at work want to get you fired. Neighbors that like to kick you out of the neighborhood. Okay. Family members like to see you dead. God can make a way. He will make a way if you believe this. Believe not what I'm saying, what I'm reading. Well, I don't agree with you. No, it's not me you disagree with. It's the Word of God. That's why you read as many scriptures. So I can say, my problem, your problem's not me. We need to believe the word of God. The Lord shall fight for you. Ye shall hold your peace. Stand ye still. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 15. And he said, listen, all Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not fear. Do not fear. Say that. Do not fear. Say it again. Do not fear or be dismayed because of this great multitude, because you're outnumbered, for the battle is not yours, but God's. I believe that. The battle is not ours, but God's. Acts chapter 23, verse 22. But if thou shalt indeed obey his voice. There you have it. You got to do what he tells you to do. If Dottie and I hadn't come to Knoxville and started this church, we wouldn't be living in a great house, great big house. I guarantee you wouldn't. If thou shalt indeed obey his voice and do what that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto your enemies. Hey, like that? Hey, like that? You don't want to be an enemy to a man or woman of God. And when I say that, I don't mean preacher. I mean someone who's born again, who is obeying God. Well, I'm not going to wait all day for an amen. I'm moving on. Amen. I'll be an enemy to your enemies, an adversary unto thine adversaries, verse 23. For mine angel shall go before thee. You see, the first one our enemies will encounter is God's angel. Don't mess with a man or woman of God. Why? If you serve God, you're just going to always live on the wrong side of the tracks and be sick and be in poverty, never going to have anything. But if you want to believe that, go right ahead. But that's not what the Bible says. Yeah, you're going to have problems. You live in a demonized world. This whole world, the Bible says, is under the power of the devil. And if you don't know your authority and believe the Word of God and build your faith by the Word of God and stand in faith and walk in faith, you probably will fail. Because you're no match for the devil. Amen. Y'all going to let me just do everything today? Amen. Preach and say amen? I got to do it all? Amen, 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 amen. Okay. Psalm 37, verse 34. Wait on the Lord. What's that mean? Don't get in a hurry. And very often I have people, let's hurry up and do this. Everybody's doing it. No, no, no. We're not getting in a hurry. God's not in a hurry. He's got all the time in the world. Amen. It's Satan is running out of time. He's the one that's in a hurry. And so I'm going to wait till I hear from God. It's worked pretty good for 49 years. N plus. Yay. I'm 49 plus, about close to 30. So Psalm 37, verse 34, wait on the Lord until you hear from God. So what that means, wait on the Lord and keep his way. In other words, live pleasing to him. Doesn't matter what anybody else says, thinks, or does. Are you pleasing him? Is he happy with you? I didn't say, are you happy with you? I said, is the Lord happy with you? Sometimes we're our worst enemy. We condemn beat up ourselves. Boy, I need a couple of people to volunteer to say amen. Let me see if I can find them. David, you say amen. And okay. Who else? Got to find someone else here. Brenda, would you say amen on that side? Okay, let's go. All right. Psalm 37, verse 34. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. What land? Your land. What's your job? What's your career? That is your parish. That's where God's assigned you. And he wants you to be successful where you are. Amen. Well, I want to be this and I want to be that. Just be what you are, where you are, and let God worry about the future. I'm totally happy just to do what I'm doing. Can you say amen? He shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you shall see it. God shall exalt his people to fulfill his plan, and they shall see the wicked cut off. Psalm 7, verse 15, he who digs a hole and scoops it out falls into the pit he has made. You see, if someone digs a hole for you, they're going to fall in it. Say amen. Amen. David? Amen. Amen. Brenda? Amen. Okay. But, you know, I read a scripture similar to this last week, and I quoted this. He who digs a hole and scoops it out falls into the pit he has made. The scripture I read the other day said when the swordsman brings the sword, he winds up piercing his own self with his own sword. And that's what happens when you have demonized people going after God's people. They wind up falling into the hole they dug for them. They wind up stabbing themselves with their own sword they meant for the righteous. Got it going now. Yay. Psalm 7, 16, the trouble he causes recoils on himself. Don't mess with the man of God. Now, do y'all believe any of this? That's why a lot of people in this church have been so successful. I've been preaching this for 43 years to some degree. I'm a lot better now. But to preach it to some degree, and few people have really believed it. Other people really are gifted in ignoring me. But if it's Scripture, you're not ignoring me. Ignoring Scripture. The trouble he causes recoils on himself. I believe that. His violence comes down on his own head. You attack me and give me a hard time, tell lies on me, you better repent really quick, because God is going to come after you. I don't have to worry about it. He who sows violence will reap violence. Whoa. He who digs a pit for us will fall into that pit himself. You see, the trouble he causes will come back on him, recoils back on him. Blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. Psalm 92, verse 6. The senseless man does not know. Fools do not understand that though the wicked spring up like grass and all evildoers flourish, they will be forever destroyed. And it is a little discouraging sometimes. We're struggling, we're praying, we're fasting, we're meditating on God's word, we're doing everything we know to do, and it seems like sin are just running off and leaving us. Read that again. The senseless man does not know. Fools do not understand that though the wicked spring up like grass and all evil doers flourish, they will be forever destroyed. Vengeance is on the way. Vengeance is mine, I'll repay. The wicked who practice and promote immorality will be forever destroyed. Verse 12, that's why we want to be sure we don't hook our wagon with those people. That's why it's so important we don't vote for people that tell you they're going to kill babies and they're going to promote men and girls sports and those kind of things. It's totally wicked. Can you say amen? And it's hard to sometimes to know what they're going to do. They'll tell you anything. So that's why I have to pray so much to discern the good from the bad. Verse 12, the righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Here's my favorite verse in the whole Bible. They will still bear fruit in old age. And all the older people said, amen. Amen. Can you believe that? People say, well, when are you going to retire? Why should I retire? I just figured out what I'm doing last week. Some ways I've been blessed more now than ever in my life. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green. Amen. 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 They will stay fresh and green. They bear fruit in old age. Evildoers are destroyed, but the righteous flourish. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 5. Thus says the Lord, cursed be the man who trusteth in man. That's where a lot of Christians go wrong. They put their trust in what everybody else is saying, what everybody else is doing. And they trust anything and everything, take advice from demonized people, and they're putting their trust in man, and they're going to fail because of it. Read again. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man. You're going to bring a curse on you. You're not cursed just because of that. You bring a curse on yourself because you believe and do what they tell you to do. And if you go to a counselor and they are atheists and don't believe in God, get you another counselor. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man who trusteth in man. Do not trust in lawyers, bankers, doctors, and preachers. You may need them, but you don't put your trust in them. Your trust is in God. Amen. I go to the doctor. I got a big checkup the other day. But my trust is not in my doctor. My trust is in Jesus Christ. But I like to know what the doctor has to say. And he said not 1% of Americans can do what I can do at my age. So he just told me. I got a big S on my chest. It's under the white shirt. And that's exactly the way to fail. When you start thinking you got a big S on your chest. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ which enables me. I can through Jesus Christ. And it says, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm and whose heart departeth from the Lord. No matter what happens, maintain your faith in your shepherd, Jesus Christ. Verse 6, for he shall be like a heath in the guy that trusts in man. He shall be like a heath in the desert and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inherit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land and not inhabited. That's what happens to people who put their faith and trust and confidence in man and not in God. Verse 7, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. Read that with me. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. Is that there somewhere? Blessed is the man. Come on, read it. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. Blessed is the man or woman that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. That's the truth. That's the way you succeed in everything you do. Is get a hold of God, believe God, trust Him to give you direction. Now, people sometimes think, I guess, that God's going to start yelling at them from heaven. Very often, He speaks to me through other people. And very often, He does send me to the right doctor, to the right preacher, to the right lawyer. Can you say amen? But He's in charge. You business people, am I telling the truth? I mean, God directs you to the people you need. And verse 7, blessed is the man that trusteth the Lord, whose hope the Lord is. If we want God's blessings, we must trust in the Lord. Trusting in man brings a curse. Trusting in God brings blessings. You see, this applies to all Christians. We must trust in Jesus Christ in everything he says. And Jesus said, my word is spirit and life. Listen, this whole thing is his word because he's God and God inspired this. Amen. Listen to this. In 2 Chronicles 16:12, in the 39th year of his reign, Asa was afflicted with a disease in his feet. Now, this man had a lot of great victories. God had blessed him. He was considered to be one of the greatest men of God who ever lived. Listen to this. In the 39th year of his reign, Asa was afflicted with a disease in his feet. Though his disease was severe, even in his illness, he did not seek help from the Lord, but only from the physicians. Verse 13. Then in the 41st year of his reign, Asa died and rested with his fathers. The Bible says Asa was a righteous man, but he put his trust in man. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. Asa died from a lack of faith in God. And that's where a lot of Christians are. We put our faith in medicine and doctors and lawyers and even preachers. Put our faith in anything and everything but God and his word, and we fail. Well, if what you're preaching is truth, how come there's so many Christians in trouble? I just told you. Why? Like Asa, their trust is in anything and everything but God. And some people won't give to God's work because their trust is in money. That money is going to evaporate. And Jesus said, I rebuke the devourer. When you give tithes and offerings, if you're not giving tithes and offerings, there's a good chance that the devil's going to take what you got anyway. So you might as well go ahead and give God what he says. Asa died from a lack of trust in God. And Psalm, I didn't say that, God said it. I just read it. Psalm 146, verse 3, do not put your trust in princes, in mortal man, who cannot save. And that's where a lot of Americans are. We're putting our faith in all these politicians, and they're just lying to us. We need to put our faith in God, pray, and do what God tells us to do. Yeah. Psalm 146, verse 3, do not put your trust in princes, in mortal man, who cannot save. Verse 5, blessed is he whose help is the Lord of Jacob. Blessed is he whose help is God. Blessed is he whose help is God, the God of Jacob. Whose hope is in the Lord, his God. Whose hope is in the Lord. Where's your hope? Where's your faith? Where's your trust? Verse 7, he upholdeth the cause of the oppressed. God's on my side. He upholds the cause of the oppressed. Doesn't say you're not going to have some oppression and depression. It says he upholds you through it. He makes a way through it and gets you out on the other side. He upholds the cause of the oppressed. Thank you, Jesus. And gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets prisoners free. If you're in bondage of any kind, drugs, alcohol, illicit sex, spirit of inferiority, spirit of depression, whatever has you down, I just want you to know the Lord sets prisoners free. That bondage can be broken. Just reading the Bible. See, the Lord gives sight to the blind pastor. Why it's always up and so I was excited because I have probably most of these scriptures, not the whole thing, but the part that's really zapped you, memorized. And I quote most of these all the time. Amen. The Lord gives sight to and you don't necessarily have to quote it, but you can carry them around on scripture on cards. You can carry them, you can get some of my sermon notes, make your own notes and put them in your pocket. You know, and get them out and read them. Have a prayer time during the day. He upholds the cause of the oppressed and gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets prisoners free. Verse 8, the Lord gives sight to the blind. I don't mean to ever sound like I'm bragging on me. I'm just trying to tell you what works. This is a success seminar. God is the author of everything good. Okay. And when we obey him, he blesses us. That's success. The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. Bowed down with depression, oppression, fear, doubt, medical bills, all kind of crazy things going on. The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. You see, he lifts up the depressed and the oppressed. The Lord loves the righteous. Say, Lord loves me. Say, Lord loves me. Say, I'm righteous. A lot of Christians have a really hard time saying it. Well, you don't know what I've done. I don't need to know what you've done. But you need to, if you've done something that you know God doesn't approve of, you need to ask him to forgive you. Verse 9, the Lord watches over the alien and sustains the fatherless and the widow. He takes care of the fatherless and the widow. And he frustrates the ways of the wicked. If you're really trying to live an ungodly life, you're going to get really frustrated because God's not going to bless you living like the devil. He frustrates the ways of the wicked. The Lord watches over the needy, but frustrates the plans of the wicked. Jeremiah 30, verse 17, for I will restore health unto thee, and I'll heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord, because they called thee an outcast. What's going on here? This is when they were taken into captivity because of their wicked sins. They had been abused and used, taken into captivity, made fun of, laughed at, threatened. In some cases, they were like Haman, even people trying to kill him. He says, for I will restore health unto thee. He says, because of all the, and I believe this is inner scars and wounds, because of all the abuse you've had. He says, I will restore health, mental, emotional health unto thee, and health in every way, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, physically, socially, financially, in every way. I will restore health unto thee, and I'll heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord, because they call thee an outcast. The people's been calling you names. God wants you to know the hurts and the scars they have created in you. He is healing you right now, if you'll believe it. I can testify, buddy, God has healed me. I've told you some things, but the hurts and scars inflicted on me by other people, my daddy for one, God has healed me to the point I'm almost normal. And judging from some normal people, I'm not sure I want to be normal. He'll restore our emotional health and heal our wounds. You see, these people had been in bondage and had suffered hurts and scars, and God says, I'm going to fix you. And he took them back to the promised land. Amen. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. Now get a load of that. Well, God just doesn't bless us because he wants to keep us humble. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk upright. Isaiah 30, verse 18. Yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you. He rises to show you compassion, for the Lord is a God of justice. In America today, it's pretty hard to get justice. Somebody can murder one of your family members and walk free. But I'm telling you right now, you're looking to the wrong place for justice if you're looking to any place other than God. And a lot of people don't even have a clue to what Jesus said. And Jesus said, and will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night, I tell you, bring about justice and bring it about quickly. Yes, God wants you to have justice. No matter how you've been abused and used and mistreated and ripped off, God has a way of bringing justice. I'm just reading it. He rises to show you compassion, for the Lord is a God of justice. God is a God of justice. He'll always do what is right. Blessed are all who wait for him. Wait until you hear from God and he will do what he says. Wait until you know you've heard from God. When you make a fast decision, it's probably not going to turn out very well unless you hear from God quickly. Sometimes I've had God just say, do it. And I do it. But you have to have your ears tuned to his voice so you know his voice. In verse 19, O people of Zion who live in Jerusalem, you will weep no more. How gracious is he how gracious he will be when you cry for help. As soon as he hears, he will answer you. You say, well, it doesn't seem to be that way. Remember Daniel? An angel showed up 21 days later, and he said, the very first minute you prayed, I started with the answer, but I got hindered by the devil, you know, by a demonic prince. And God sent a more powerful angel. I got free, and here I am. So God hears, and he sends an answer immediately, but you got to be patient because the devil's doing everything he can to keep that from getting to you. And you should read Daniel for yourself. And that's what happened there. How gracious he'll be when you cry for help. As soon as he hears, he will answer you. God's blessings are not automatic. We must turn away from our sins and our little petty things that we don't want to give up and cry out for help. One thing we got to learn to do is take time to pray and meditate on God's word. He will hear and answer. Psalm 118, verse 6, the Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. Read that with me. The Lord is with me. Read again. Just follow me. I'm the leader. The Lord is with me. Stop. 1, 2, 3. The Lord is with me. Stop. Again. The Lord is with me. Now go. I will not be afraid. I will not be afraid. I will not be afraid. Why? 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 See, when you really get that, you know he's really with you. There's no reason to be afraid. But you'll have to rebuke it because fear can be a demon. Get out of here. I will not be afraid. The righteous will have no fear of bad news. Well, it's going to come. You have to rebuke it. You're not putting that on me because fear will shut you down. Fear will cause you to make bad decisions. Fear will cause you to fail. Michael, this is a success seminar, right? Amen. Well, you mean God's part of a success? God is the one who wants you to be successful, folks. He didn't design you to fail. You're his kids. He designed you to be the head, not the tail, but only not beneath. But you got to obey him and get where he told you to get and stay there. Am I telling her right, Linda? Yay. Without even knowing it, she became my associate pastor. Yay. How long have you been doing Servants Hope?
26 years.
She came up to me, and they didn't even know who she was. She just arrived, and I hadn't been in Oxford very long, started coming to this church. She said, Lord told me to start Servants Hope. Is that okay? And I said, yeah. She told me what it was. I thought she had done it at her church. Was it Michigan? But I found out a few years ago, no, this was something God told her to start here. She hadn't done it anywhere else. Y'all paying attention? God knew this church needed her. And I didn't know, and she didn't know how it was going to turn out. But right now, I couldn't take care of the people in the church without her. And she and her team, they go to hospitals, they go to nursing homes, they go to the homes of shut-ins. I mean, they're all over the place. The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. Look at verse 7. The Lord is with me. He is my helper, and he'll send me helpers. Amen. I will look in triumph on my enemies. Don't mess with a man or a woman of God. And verse 8, it is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. If the Lord is our helper, there is nothing to fear. I was pushed for verse 13. Is 13 bad luck? I'm having a hard time saying it. There is no bad luck or good luck. It's Jesus. Can you say? It's the devil and Jesus. And Jesus giving you authority over the devil. I give you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions, over all the prayer of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. I love this, verse 13. I was pushed back and about to fall, but the Lord helped me. You ever been there? I've been there so many times I can't count. I was pushed back and about to fall, but the Lord helped me. Many times I've been about to collapse, sink, but he helped me. He pulled me out. Even when I lost faith, cried like a baby, he just pulled me out anyway. Rebuked me. He said, stop that. And saved my hide. Verse 15, shouts of joy and victory resound in the tents of the righteous, or at least it should. We need to be excited. Can you say amen? We don't go around yelling and shouting just to put on a show, but we need to be so excited about our Lord and how good he is that we can hardly keep it in. We're here on earth to show forth the praises of him who's called us out of darkness. Now, we need to be excited about Jesus, not be ashamed to say he's my best friend. He helps me. He blesses me. He delivers me. He works for me. Back to verse 7, the Lord is with me. He is my helper. If everybody else lets me down, God will help me. Paul said when he faced Alexander the coppersmith, everybody, all those Christians that were so spiritual, ran off and left him standing by himself facing Alexander the coppersmith. And he said, Jesus Christ stood by me and strengthened me. If everybody runs off, that's okay. I still got a helper. The best there is. I will, not might, I will look in triumph on my enemies. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. Verse 13, I was pushed back and about to fall, and the Lord helped me. You ever been there, Milton? Yeah. Milton's a successful businessman. I'm telling you right now, those days come, right? And you got to trust God. Many times I've been about to collapse, and God just rescued me. Verse 15, shouts of joy and victory resound in the tents of the righteous. Can you say praise God? Praise Can you say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
I love you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Shouts of joy and victory resound in the tents of the righteous. Why? Not because they're putting on a fake trying to get it. They've already got it. They know they've got it. They know he's their helper, and they're excited about it. It may not look like he's their helper, but they know he's their helper, so they're excited about it. It may not look like God's always my helper, but he is, and I know it, and I'm excited about it. Now, let's don't get fanatical. Verse 17, I will not die but live. Doctor gives you a bad report. You need to ask God, are you through with me? If he says no, then you need to say that. I will not die. I'll live. Don't go around confessing, I'm going to die. Why are you saying that? The doctor said I'm going to die. What did God say?
Amen.
I will not die. And yes, the devil's a thief. He will steal your life and cut it short if he can. Amen. I will not die, but live and will proclaim what the Lord has done. Now, if you're not going to be a witness, you're not going to serve him in any way and let his light shine through you, well, then I don't know if that applies. But listen, I will not die, but live and will proclaim what the Lord has done. We need to be willing. And I almost have to beat some people up just to get them to testify. If God's worked a miracle in you, you should want to testify. Never give up. The Lord will help you. When he gives us the victory, we are to proclaim what he has done. In 2 Chronicles, you don't have to be fanatical, but, you know, we need to be excited about what God has done. When we have an opportunity, you don't go around embarrassing yourself and embarrassing other people. But when you have an opportunity to tell people how good God's been to you, that he's given you a $1 million house, it's okay to tell people. 2 Chronicles 16:9, the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth that he may strongly support those whose heart is completely his. Now let me read that the way it really is. The eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth that he may show himself strongly and support the preacher. to show himself strongly and support the college professor. To strongly support those who are on the board at the church. What does that say? The eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth that he may strongly support those whose heart is completely his. Amen. The eyes of the Lord are moving about the earth that he may strongly support you and me. Psalm 84, verse 11. Y'all like this? It's just the Bible. I know somebody's saying, oh, I don't believe that. But go right ahead and don't believe, because Jesus said, according to your faith. And so if you don't want to be blessed, just don't believe it. If you want to be blessed, you have no choice to believe it, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. For the Lord, Psalm 84, verse 11, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. I'm favored. And it's not because I'm bald-headed. For the Lord is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. Read that. No good thing. One, two, three. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. One, two, three. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. What does blameless mean? It means your sins are confessed and none of the blood. That's what it means. There are no perfect people. Oh, Lord Almighty, blessed is the man who trusts in you. You see, God will bless us if we live blameless, meaning our sins are under the blood, and put our trust in him, living by faith, trusting him to take us to heaven. He will not withhold any good thing from us. After we came here, it looked like Knoxville was going to go bankrupt. After the World's Fair, the whole thing's going bankrupt. I had one of the largest bank failures in America, and the devil's telling me, you came to the wrong place at the wrong time. This whole town's going to go bankrupt. And I said, Lord, what is going on? And this says, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. The Lord spoke to me and said, you trusted me and you came here. I'm going to bless this city because of you. Yeah. Immediately, this thing turned. This has been one of the best blessed cities in the United States of America, and still is, all because of me. Now, you know that's not true. But that does apply to all of us who trusted God and came here. And a lot of you who were born here, you had to have a lot of faith to stay here at certain times. And basically, it's his people. Not just me, it's his people. He's blessing the city because of us. Trust in him. Let's all stand.